Open your Bible, please, with me today to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the seventh message in a series of messages on the theme, Family Matters. Today's message is, You Can Be the Child Every Parent Desires. A young lady got on a public city bus one day dragging five children with her onto the bus. As she got on the bus driver looked at her and all those kids and said, Lady, are all these kids yours or is this a picnic? And she said, They're all mine and it ain't no picnic. Well, being a parent is not a picnic. It's an awesome assignment. It's an awesome challenge. And the children can help the parents to make their parental responsibility easier and more satisfying and more rewarding. Not everyone here today has children. Some of you are not even of age to have children. Some of you have never married. But while everyone here does not have children, every one of us has parents. And if either your mother or father or both of your parents are still living, then this message is for you. Now, if both of your parents are deceased, I don't want you to check out and go home. Stick around. Let's look in the Word of God and see what God has to say about how children are to relate to their parents, for perhaps you have nieces or nephews or children in the neighborhood that you could share this wise biblical counsel with. Now, every child, according to God's Word, can give two gifts to his parents. And you can be the child your parents desire you to be by giving to them, first of all, the gift of obedience, and then second, the gift of honor. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul these words, For the members of the church in Ephesus, and for every subsequent generation of people until Jesus comes again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. As we think today about what children can give their parents and how you can become the child that your parents desire you to be, first of all, consider with me, verse 1, that God says that every child ought to give to mom and dad the gift of obedience. Verse 1 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, to obey literally means to listen under. That means that you listen to mom and dad with the intent of understanding what it is they are saying and with the intention of following the commands or the guidance that they offer. Now, the Scripture tells us that children are to obey their parents. And we're to do that in the Lord. We are not to obey parents if parents command us to do something which is contrary to God's Word. If your parents ask you to steal something or to tell a lie, then there's a higher authority that you must obey, and that is the authority of God Himself. And His will is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. But let's be honest. It is very seldom that a parent would ever ask a child to do something which is contrary to the Word of God or to God's commands. And so we find here this command, Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Even if your mother and father are not Christians, God says you are to obey mom and dad. Now I want to give you five reasons to obey your parents. And I hope you'll take a pencil and jot this down. Five reasons that children ought to obey their parents. Number one, Because the parents stand in the place of God. Your mother and father stand in the place of God in relationship to you and your family. They are, if you please, vice regents with God. Just as God cares for you and loves you and seeks to provide for you and protect you, God has placed your parents over you, in authority over you, to love you and care for you, to provide for your needs, and to protect you from danger. William Shakespeare said, "The voice of parents is the voice of the gods, for to their children they are heaven's lieutenants." And so we are to obey our parents because they are as the voice of God in the life of the children. A second reason you ought to obey your parents is that your parents have your best interest at heart. Your parents, because they love you so, have your best interest at heart. Now, perhaps you can cite that wayward mom or dad somewhere of whom that is not true. But for the most part, a parent always has the best interest of the child at heart. No one loves you more than your mother or your father. No one cares about your welfare more than your parents. The fact of the matter is, your mother or father would willingly and gladly give their life for you if necessary in order to spare your life. And so we ought to obey our parents because they have our best interest at heart. Let me give you a third reason why children should obey parents. Because to obey your mom and dad honors God. Obedience honors God. You see, when you obey your parents, you please God. And when you disobey your parents, you displease God. And if you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. And if you please God, then it doesn't really matter who you displease. And when we obey our parents, we are bringing honor and pleasure to our God. Now, there's a fourth reason why children ought to obey their parents. And it is perhaps the flip side of the third reason. If the third reason to obey your parents is obedience honors God, the fourth reason is disobedience to parents dishonors God. Disobedience to parents dishonors God. Look in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 31. We'll come back a little later to Ephesians chapter 6, but now look in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 28. Here the Apostle Paul says, Romans 1, 28, "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, obey their parents, they are selfless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." Now, those verses set forth for us the character qualities of evil people. Notice who is included in this list. God-haters, slanderers, those who invent ways of doing evil, those who are murderers, those who are filled with every kind of wickedness and evil and greed and depravity. And in the midst of this litany of words which describe for us the heart of an evil person is this phrase in verse 31, they disobey their parents. Do you see that disobedience to parents dishonors God? And disobedience to parents is not weakness, it's wickedness. Disobedience to parents is a horrible, foul, terrible, heinous, wretched sin. We live in an age in which it's popular to be disobedient to all kind of authority, in which it's end today for parents, for children, to disregard the commands and the instructions of mom and dad, in which it's derided in the media today. The heroes today are the smart mouth kids, and the wimps are mom and dad who fall around at their feet. God says that disobedience to parents is dishonoring to His holy name. Let me give you a fifth reason why children ought to obey their parents. That's the example of the Lord Jesus. Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. We know very little about the childhood and adolescent years of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do have this glimpse into the life of Jesus at age 12. His parents had taken him up to Jerusalem for the first time ever for the Passover, and Jesus was there experiencing the Passover, and in the course of that stay in Jerusalem, Jesus found himself engaged in conversation with the religious leaders. And when Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his stepfather, left to go back to their hometown, they thought Jesus was with other members of the traveling party. And they had gone an entire day before they realized that Jesus was not there. So they go back to Jerusalem, and they find him in the temple discoursing about religious matters with the religious leaders of his day. And so they say to him, "You must come back with us." And so the Scripture says that he did. Look in Luke 2, verse 51 and 52. "Then he," that's Jesus, "he went down to Nazareth," that's their hometown, "with them and was obedient to them." Can you imagine? Here's the Son of God, the eternal God-man, the second person of the Trinity, the one who was the creator of Joseph and Mary, yet he obeyed his parents. And the Scripture says his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And verse 52 says, "And so Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." How could Jesus grow like that? Well, one key factor was Jesus obeyed Joseph and Mary, the earthly parents given to him by his heavenly Father. I can't think of a better reason for any child anywhere to obey mom and dad than just simply the example of Jesus. If you are a Christian, then you'll have as your greatest ambition in life to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be like Jesus, you will obey your mother and your father. May I say furthermore to every young person here, every boy and girl, every teenager, every student, you will never learn to obey God until you learn to obey mom and dad. Let me say it again, not because I can't think of what I'm to say next, but just because I want to underline this. You will never learn to obey God until you learn to obey mom and dad. You see, the Lord God is in authority over us. And He calls for implicit obedience in the lives of His children. And we learn to obey God by learning as children to obey our parents in the home. May I say a word to the parents here? When you give instructions or guidance or counsel or commands to your sons and daughters, I think as a general course, it's wise to say, "Here's the reason why I'm giving you this assignment. Here's the explanation for this command." I think for the most part, that's the wise course to take. But I believe there ought to be times when you just give a command to your son or daughter, and if they say, "But Dad, why?" that you'll do what my dad did on occasion. He'd say, "Just son, because I'm your father and because I tell you so." Now, that may be hard for an 8-year-old or an 18-year-old to take. There's great wisdom in that. You say, "How so, Brother Al?" Simply this. As you seek to live your life with the Lord Jesus Christ as an adult, there will come times in your life when God will speak to you about a matter, and God will say, "This is what I want you to do." And you'll say, but God, why? And God will say, just because I want you to do it. You see, oftentimes God gives us His reasons, but sometimes God just gives us a command and doesn't tell us why. And if we can learn as a 7-year-old or a 15-year-old to obey our parents without explanation, then when God gives us a command that we don't understand and God refuses to explain to us, then we're in a position to obey God. And the sooner we learn how to do that, the better off we'll be. What does a child owe mom and dad? Obedience. Wise is the child who gives to his parents the gift of obedience. You want to please your parents? You want to be a child that brings joy to mom and dad's heart? Then obey them. There's a second gift that every child ought to give to his parents, and that's the gift of honor. Now look back in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Look with me in chapter 6, verse 2 and following. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. God says, honor your father and your mother. Now, to honor your parents means to treasure them, to value them, to elevate them to a place of importance. This phrase, to honor, literally means to be heavy, to give weight to. And when we give weight to the desires, commands, and instruction of our parents, when we give importance to that, then we are honoring them. Now, as a child grows older, the command to obey becomes less and less. It recedes somewhat into the background as a son or daughter matures, comes of age, marries, establishes his or her own home. But the command to honor your parents never ceases. In fact, it grows in importance as the years pass. You may be 60 or 65 years of age, and you may have a parent who's 80 or 85 or 90 years of age. If your mother or father is still alive, as long as your parent lives, it is your God-given responsibility to honor that parent. And this is a commandment with a promise. Look again in verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, this is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And it is the only one with a promise. Now, what is the promise? Verse 3. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This is a twofold promise. It is, first of all, the promise of the quality of life, that it may go well with you. God says, if you'll honor your parents, you'll live a high quality kind of life. You'll live the good life, a rewarding life, a gratifying life, a fulfilling life. You will experience the kind of life that God intends for every one of us to experience. But then there's a second component of this promise. Not only is the promise of the quality of life, but there's also the promise of the quality of life. Look again in verse 3. That it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now I know there's some exceptions to this, but for the most part, disobedient sons and daughters live lives which are shorter than sons and daughters who honor and obey their parents. If for no other reason, that those who obey and honor their parents will receive counsel which will protect them, which will keep them from dangerous circumstances and situations which would abbreviate their lives prematurely. So this is a general principle which God says is true in every generation. It was true in the generation in which God gave those words to Moses. It was true in the first century world in which the Apostle Paul penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church in Ephesus, and it's true in this, the last decade of the 20th century. Honor your mother and your father, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life It is the way of God. Now, as we think about how to honor our parents, I want to suggest to you this morning six ways that every child can honor his or her parents. And again, I hope you'll take a pen or pencil in hand and jot these down. Six ways in which you and I can honor our parents. Number one, we honor them through respect. We honor our parents when we respect them. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, Moses said, "Each of you must respect his mother and father." Now, why should you respect your parents? Just simply because they are your parents. God placed them in your life, and God says we are to respect our parents. How can a child respect his parents? May I suggest by speaking kindly to his parents. We know what it is to be disrespectful to parents. To talk back to them, to mouth off at them, to sass them. That brings reproach to the name of God. May I say a word to parents? Don't allow your sons and daughters to be disrespectful to you or to your mate. Just don't do it. I read just this week of a very wise and godly father who had to speak in a very stern way to his son who had been disrespectful to his mother. He lipped off the mom one day. It wasn't tolerated in that household. And this is what this boy's father said to his son. "Son, I want to tell you something. When you lipped off to your mother, you sinned against God. God says you are to honor her, and you're going to have to answer to Him for that. Not only that, but you sinned against your mother. She went down into the valley of the shadow of death to bring you to life. How ungrateful you've been to speak to your mother that way, and you're going to have to answer to your mother for that." And then this godly dad said, "And I want to tell you something else. Not only is she your mother, but she is my wife, and you're not going to talk that way to my wife." And now you not only have to deal with God and your mother, but you have to deal with me because of the disrespect you've shown to my wife. Praise God for a dad like that. We honor our parents when we respect them. We respect them when we speak kindly, courteously, to them. But we also respect them when we speak kindly of them. I mean, when they're not around. When it's just you and your friends at school or you and your classmates on the campus. How do you speak of your parents? Do you make derogatory remarks about them? Are you critical? Do you put them down? Do you call them names around your friends? God says you need to repent. Learn to honor your parents by being respectful toward them. Let me give you a second way you can honor your parents. By your helpfulness at home. By being helpful at home, you honor mom and dad. Let me tell you something, boys and girls. Are you listening? Are you listening to Brother Al? Let me tell you something, teenagers. Do you know that your mother is not your personal valet? Do you know that? God didn't drop her down from heaven just to wait on you hand and foot. It dishonors God, and it dishonors parents, I believe, for a child to sit in there in front of the television with a RC in one hand and a moon pie in the other, say, "Mom, would you please bring me something else to eat? Why don't you just get your lazy rear end out of that seat and go to the refrigerator yourself? You get hungry enough, you'll get it. Moms, quit running on, waiting on them hand and foot. You just feed it." Be helpful at home. You know a lazy child dishonors his parents? Read the book of Proverbs. Be helpful at home. Instead of being told someday, just go in and on your own, clean your room, wash the supper dishes, take out the trash. Of course, you may have to call the 911 to get the ambulance to come and take mom to the emergency room when that happens. It honors mother and father when sons and daughters help out around the home. Wise is the child who learns to be helpful at home. Let me give you a third way you can honor your parents. By expressing thanksgiving. Learn to say thanks to your mother and your father for all they have done and continue to do for you. Do you know that your mother went down into the valley of the shadow of death to bring you into this world, that your father goes out day after day into the workplace and works hard to bring home the food that you eat, to purchase the clothes that you wear, to send you to school, to educate you, to nurse you when you're sick, to pay medical bills or whatever comes up. And it would just bless your parents immensely if occasionally you'd say to your mother and father, thank you for all that you do to make my life a good life. I agree with that famous theologian Irma Bombeck, who penned these words. You don't love me. How many times have your kids laid that one on you? Probably not a parent here hadn't heard that, right? She writes, someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic motivating a mother, I'm going to tell them how much I love them. I loved you enough to bug you about where you were going and what time you would get home. I loved you enough to let you discover that your friend was a creep. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your bedroom, a job that would have taken me 15 minutes. I loved you enough to ignore what every other mother did or said. I loved you enough to let you stumble, fall, hurt, and fail. I loved you enough to accept you for what you are and not for what I wanted you to be. And most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for saying it. Do you understand that your mother and father love you more than anyone else except the Lord God? Say thanks occasionally for the sacrifices that your parents have made for your welfare. Let me suggest a fourth way in which children can honor their parents, by seeking their counsel. You honor your parents when you seek their godly counsel. The fact of the matter is that your parents are wiser than you are. You may be unprepared or unwilling to admit that at this stage in your life's journey, but when enough years pass, you will come to realize that your father is not the moron that you think he is, and that your mother is not as stupid as she appears to be. And wise is the son or daughter who learns to honor his parents by seeking the counsel of his mother and father. The best counselor I had was my dad. For 44 years, I had my dad's counsel. I don't have it anymore. He's with Jesus. What I would give on Sundays just to have 30 minutes to ask my daddy for wise counsel. Young person, you don't know how long your parents are going to be here. If you are wise, you will seek the counsel of your mother and father and heed it. Let me give you a fifth way in which sons and daughters can honor their parents. And that is by caring for elderly parents. Now, I know we're moving here beyond the preschoolers and the elementary age, but perhaps you're at midlife. Your parents are in the twilight years. We honor our parents by caring for them. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Look in verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying the parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. It pleases God when an adult child cares for the material and emotional needs of elderly parents and grandparents. And it is a reproach to God for affluent, well-off, healthy adult children to neglect and ignore their elderly parents. And yet it's quite common in our society. Do you care for your parents? Do you go to visit them? Do you phone them? Do you write them? I've been pastor of this church now for almost 18 years. There's been very few weeks that passed over these 18 years that I've not written my parents at least one letter. It's a handwritten letter every week. Just to let them know what I'm doing, I'm thinking about them, I care for them. Can't write my dad anymore, I write my mother. We ought to care for our parents. Look in chapter 5, verse 8. This is pretty serious stuff. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, that's husband, wife, son, daughter, mother, father, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's a strong word from God about caring for parents. We honor our parents when we care for them. Now let me give you one final way, one sixth way in which we can honor parents, and then we're done. By having godly character. You honor your parents with godly character. Look in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25. It's so important for a son or daughter to live an honorable life, to have a character which brings honor to the name of our God. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Let me ask you this question. Now be honest. What about your mom and dad? The ones who gave you birth, are they glad? Do they delight in you? Do they rejoice in the life that you live? Is your lifestyle pleasing to them? Does it bring them great satisfaction to know the way you spend your money and the way you spend your time and the kind of people you run with during the week? Are they delighted in you? I want to promise you this. If you have godly character, they will delight in you. But if you don't, it'll break their heart. God's Word says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You can be the child that your mother or father desire you to be if you will, first of all, give them the gift of obedience, and then secondly, give them the gift of honor. Let's bow and pray together.